From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, the snapping of the American mind. I'm looking forward to that. Here's what's happening. Well, they did it in Vegas, the Democratic debates. Wonder what the odds makers are saying about all that tonight. A defiant Hillary Clinton defended her policy flip-flops and downplayed her personal email scandal while sparring sharply with her primary rivals at the first Democratic presidential debate held at the Wynn Casino Hotel in Las Vegas. The front runner played the role of a nimble-footed goalie to a field, taking shots at her long record in public life. In comparison with the Donald Trump-dominated GOP debates, the leadoff showdown in Las Vegas was a relatively cordial affair for the Democrats. They acted with a lot of dignity with each other. Dr. John Curtis, of course, onlinecolumnist.com. I thought Hillary and Bernie Sanders did pretty well. What did you think, John?
Well, I think that Hillary really presented the kind of new Hillary 2 version. This is like, you know, kind of makeover where she's like warm and a little bit of a sense of humor. You know, she's as serious as a heart attack, that woman. But it really showed that she was able to mix it up. This is her element. I mean, she's a policy wonk, basically, extremely well rehearsed. And she was on a debate stage with real, I mean, essentially pretty lightweight people, real neophytes. I mean, come on, O'Malley and Lincoln Chafee and Jim Webb. I mean, really are not even minor league players, and, you know, considering them for even cabinet posts is out of the question. So there's virtually no competition other than a crank, I mean, a more cranky candidate, you've got Bernie Sanders really appealing to a certain fringe group. I mean, he's got a lot of people enthused. You know, the Facebook crowd liked him. I think the CNN report was something like he won the debate by 75%. But, I mean, among Facebook-type folks.
And I'm not sure the Facebook folks are going to go out and vote.
No, of course not. And they're, you know, youthful kind of just trendy people who like the idea of like somebody saying, hey, there's too many billionaires in the country.
Right.
And, you know, that, you know, we want to spread the wealth around and we want free college tuition and we want free health care. We want this and that. So, you know, Sanders has his talking points down. But when you get him into a debate where there's some complexity to the questions that don't, you know, that aren't part of his talking points, then he looks a little bit out of sorts. I think it's very hard, you know, clearly Hillary did not hurt herself. There were no major gaffes. I don't think the polls change at all. I think if anything, I think maybe it helps her a little bit in New Hampshire where Sanders is running a little bit ahead of her. So I think all in all, I think, you know, you're going to get some more dropouts coming up in the Democratic race because I don't think any of the three other minor three candidates really have a leg to stand on. And I think Sanders will ride this as long as he can. But ultimately, I think it is kind of a coronation for Hillary.
We shall talk further. John Curtis, John's website, onlinecolumnist.com, part of our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. You know, our prophecy expert, John Hoag, still believes it's going to be Hillary Clinton running off against Jeb Bush. We shall see. Twitter said it would jettison up to 336 people, roughly 8% of its workforce, as part of restructuring. The CEO, Jack Dorsey, who was one of the co-founders of Twitter, says that that will place the social media company on a stronger path to growth. Dorsey confirms the layoffs in a memo sent to employees and shared through his own Twitter account. Remember that Malaysian Airlines flight MH17, not 370, not the one that crashed in the water, they say, even though it's still God knows where, even though they said they found a wing. I'm talking about the one that crashed over the Ukraine. Well, they say that it was brought down as a result of a Russian-made missile, according to a Dutch safety board. The missile hit the front left of the plane, causing the other parts to break off. In its final report of this July 2014 disaster, which killed 298 people. The Western Ukraine say the Russian-backed rebels brought down the Boeing 777, but Russia blames Ukrainian forces. Palestinian men armed with knives and a gun killed at least three people, wounded several others in a string of attacks in Jerusalem near Tel Aviv. Police say this was a day of rage declared by Palestinian groups. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu facing increased pressure from the public over his handling so far of a wave of Palestinian attacks said his government is working on a series of aggressive steps to combat the crisis. Jerry Corsi, of course, noted author and writes for WND.com. Jerry, knowing the mindset of Netanyahu, he's going to send troops into there and they're not going to stop. That's my guess.
Well, George, these are attacks that are going on. There's been about 20 attacks. They've been mostly stabbings. They've killed a total of seven Israeli Jews, and 11 of the assailants have been shot by the Israeli security forces, or in one case, a victim who pulled out a pistol. I mean, these are attacks that are going to be very hard to stop because the Palestinians are intermixed within the population in Jerusalem and simply trying to hold everyone into the Palestinian sections with troops or police forces is going to be a very difficult effort to contain this kind of one-on-one random violence.
You know, Jerry, as we have continued to see the problems between Hamas, the Palestinians, and Israel, isn't this going to bust up pretty soon? I mean, how much more of this can Israel take before they say enough is enough?
Israel's had an enormous patience, and I think will continue to. Although we've anticipated Israel will attack Iran, I think Israel's going to wait until the very last minute before Iran has nuclear weapons capabilities, before any attack is launched. And right now, George, the Middle East is undergoing a really fundamental reconfiguration. Iran seems to be gaining power with Russia in Syria, and it's all waiting to be played out. But at the moment, I'd say that Israel has a little bit of a breathing room, except for the possibility of another intifada starting out with these individual attacks. But long term, meaning next 6 months or year, I think the pressure from Russia and Iran and Hamas are only going to intensify on Israel, making another war increasingly likely.
Okay, Jerry, thank you so much. A woman who sued her 8-year-old nephew for $127,000 for jumping into her arms at a party, causing her to fall and break her wrist, will not be awarded any money, according to a Connecticut jury. The 6-member panel took only 25 minutes to deliberate. Can you imagine? She sued her 8-year-old nephew. My take is you probably thought she was going to get insurance money from them. Sued 8 little. I wonder if the little kid even went into court. Well, three recent studies from the food brand lab at Cornell University found that putting low-fat labels on snack foods encouraged people to eat up to 50% more than those who were given the exact same food without the labels. So just be careful. And a Rhode Island man who weighs nearly 800 pounds, says he's determined to slim down and he dreams of becoming an actor one day. Steve Asante refers to himself now as a monster. He wants to eventually inspire others who struggle with their weight. The 33-year-old said he's addicted to pizza, as long as it's not topped with anchovies. In a moment, Dr. Peter Glidden joins us from criticalhealthnews.com. They are a major sponsor of Coast to Coast AM, and we believe what they say. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, and of course, Peter Glidden, naturopathic physician, lecturer. He has, of course, been doing this for a number of years. He talks about the benefits of naturals versus mainstream medicine. He's part of the criticalhealthnews.com team. We'll give you a toll-free number a little bit later on. And as I mentioned, they're major sponsors of Coast to Coast. They like what we do, and I got to tell you, we like what they do because we've partnered up with them to get the word out about how important it is for everyone to take care of themselves. Look, I'm not opposed to mainstream medicine. Never have. I've got some dear friends who are medical doctors who have done miraculous things for all of us. Man, I've got one who looks at my blood count all the time and says, this is good, this is bad, do this, do that. But I got to tell you, taking care of yourself is critically important. And thank God we have people like Peter Glidden and Dr. Joel Wallach with us and Ben Fuchs to get the word out about what you need to do. And Peter joins us once a month, and here he is on Coast to Coast. Hey, Peter, good to have you back.
George, it's such a pleasure to be here. How are you doing?
I'm well. I'm healthy. It's working. Things are fine. And, you know, we continue to try to get the message out to people. I got to tell you, once we posted that you were going to be a guest on the program, the email started with people asking me all kinds of questions to ask you. So I'm going to open up the phone lines a little bit earlier tonight. We've got you for 2 hours. I'm going to open them up in about 15 minutes so they can talk with you and maybe we can help people out. But how have you been?
I've been very, very well. In the middle of a big transition here. A little while ago, I had to move from the great state of Illinois to Minnesota.
Aha!
Because Illinois, believe it or not, fined me $5,000 because I used the word doctor on my website. And naturopathic medicine is not licensed nor regulated in Illinois.
Some states it is. So
yeah, 18 states in total in the United States, plus the U.S. Virgin Islands. But this underlines, I think, the fundamental
it's a battle.
Foundation of our message, right?
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, you know, Dr. Joel Wallach is a veterinarian. We point that out to people, but he has done more good for humans than a lot of medical practitioners do, especially with his work early on in his life with animals. But you know what? He's a doctor.
Well, yeah. First, Dr. Wallach, of course, was a veterinarian. He was a world-class veterinarian pathologist, for goodness sakes, and in charge of a $25 million federally funded research program. And then he became a naturopathic physician like myself. Now, to become a naturopathic doctor in the U.S., you have to do 4 years pre-med, 4 years naturopathic medical school, 1,000 hours of clinical supervision. You have to pass national boards, pass state boards, do continuing education credit. It's a full-blown primary care medical.
It sure is.
And, you know, in the state of Washington, as a naturopath, I can deliver babies, prescribe drugs, imagine that, work in hospitals, call myself a physician, order any diagnostic test I want, and it's all covered by insurance. But that's only the way that it is in 18 states in the United States. And this is part of our message, George. We do not have a free medical market in the United States. We haven't had a free medical market since the early 1900s. And this is a problem. As you mentioned earlier, you know, your medical doctor may be the nicest person that God ever created, but your medical doctor doesn't know what's best for you. They only know what they've been trained in. And what they've been trained in, as it turns out, is just one piece of the pie of medical science. But because of the monopolization of the medical marketplace since the early 1900s, we have become, generally speaking, socialized into believing that the medical doctor owns the secret decoder ring to all things medical and everybody else practices, you know, substandard alternative back-of-the-bus medicine. It's nonsense. We don't have a free medical market, and because we don't have a free medical market, because, you know, it's MD-directed medicine all of the time, for goodness sakes, the only medicine practiced in our hospitals is MD medicine. Mm-hmm. The only medicine your insurance pays for is MD medicine. The only medicine that they do research on at universities is MD-directed medicine. And most people have become socialized into believing that MDs practice medicine and everybody else does something else, which is tantamount to saying, well, you know, the only real dog is a German Shepherd and every other dog is an alternative dog. Well, that's nonsense.
Well, I got to tell you, Peter, I am so proud of the work that you folks do at criticalhealthnews.com. I'm so proud that you have all got together collectively and said, you know what, Coast to Coast is the program we want to sponsor. Coast to Coast is the program we want to get our message out, and we're just fortunate to partner up with you. I don't do enough programs with you or Dr. Wallach or Ben Fuchs. I should. You know, we do a couple a month. You haven't been on since July 28th. Ben Fuchs was on. Joel's on a couple times every other month. We should do more of these because people are so fascinated with taking care of themselves.
Well, and what's, I think, more to the point, people are just frustrated by being sick.
I mean, look around. Everybody's sick.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's getting worse.
And they linger. Look, we almost lost producer Tom Danheiser, Peter. Several weeks ago, we have done extensive flying this year. I mean, all over the country. And Tom was, you know, not moving around the plane as much as he should, and he apparently got a pulmonary embolism. Well, we were on the air one night, and he was just getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And for him to come up to me and say, I can't continue the show tonight, I can't work, that never happens. You know, we're guys. We don't ask for directions. We don't do anything. We don't go to the hospital. We wait till we fall apart. And we looked at him and said, Tom, you got to go right now. So we got Gina to come in to back him up. And Tom took himself up to a local hospital. And they kept him. They kept him for 3 days, Peter. He had a pulmonary embolism. A clot from the leg broke off and lodged in his lung. He could have died had we not gotten him in there. He, too, now is changing his entire regimen of health. You know, he's heard the things we've talked about, but it's one of those things like, well, these things aren't going to happen to me. Tom's changing himself now. His whole lifestyle's changed.
Well, that's how it is. You know, people get, they come up against a crisis, right, in order to get them motivated to do something different and new. This is interesting, a little bit ironic, because one of the things I love about Dr. Wallach is he plays offense, right, not just defense. He sued the Food and Drug Administration a number of times in order to secure something called a qualified health claim. Now, to get a qualified health claim from the Food and Drug Administration, you have to bring truckloads of published research to support your position. And Wallach's done this a number of times. One of the qualified health claims that he was had a big part in getting together was a qualified health claim that allows us to say that essential fatty acid supplementation, omega-3, essential fatty acids from fish oil or plant oil, omega-3 essential fatty acids virtually eliminate the risk of thrombotic stroke and coronary thrombosis. So when people get blood clots in their body, it's not because they have a bad gene. It's not because they have a voodoo curse. Mm-hmm. It's not because they're getting older. It's because their body has run out of the essential nutrients it needs to keep the blood healthy. It's that simple. And, you know, this is our entire position here, that the human body has a built-in, God-given ability to fix itself, and that naturopathic physicians, every physician who practices a holistic method all around the world, we are trained in the application, the clinical application of therapeutics, the intention of which are to support the body's built-in, God-given ability to fix itself. Essential fatty acid supplementation, take your fish oil supplements every day, the risk of thrombotic stroke virtually disappears.
It's not a difficult formula to
it's
stay
not.
Healthy, is it, Doc?
But no, it's easy. I mean, this, and you got to love Dr. Wallach because of this. And no kidding, George, I've been doing this for 27 years clinically. I've been doing primary care, naturopathic medicine for 27 years. And before I met Dr. Wallach, I got good results. I mean, it's hard not to as a naturopath. But since I've met Doc, since I've been following his lead, using his therapeutics, using longevity nutritional supplements, and leaning on his research, the things that I've seen people recover from eclipse anything I'd seen previous to that. And the reason is because of the recipe. You know, not all wine is made from grapes, but there's a great deal of difference from bottle to bottle. All chicken soup, you know, the recipes are different.
Oh,
Dr. Wallach's recipes are informed by tens of millions of dollars of research, tens of thousands of autopsies, old-fashioned boots-on-the-ground research, and then 3 decades of clinical experience. Wallach wrote the book on medical nutrition. Literally, it's in the Smithsonian Institution, and that's why his therapeutics work. That's why I love longevity so much, because it works better than anything I've ever seen.
How long, and we're coming up to a break, but real quickly, how long do you think people can live if they take care of themselves?
120 years. We have the genetic capacity. Any geneticist will tell you this. We have the genetic capacity to live to be 120 years. Every time your cells reproduce themselves, they lose a little bit of genetic material. And, you know, that can, it's like making a copy of a copy of a copy. We can make it to 120 if we give our body its due, but because we don't, know what we're doing, quite frankly. Our medical doctors have let us down. Your medical doctor is really great for trauma care, for surgery, for infectious diseases, but for everything else, they're the wrong dog for the hunt. But life expectancy, according to the CIA in the United States, 79.56 years, 79 and a half years.
120, that'd be great to really collect your Social Security. You might get all the money you put back in there. We're with Dr. Peter Glidden. We will be back in a moment. The website, criticalhealthnews.com. There is a toll-free number. They will help you. They're not doctors there. They will help you at 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Dr. Peter Glidden with us. You're going to love Minnesota, by the way, Peter. I lived there for a year back in 78 to 79. It's a great state.
I know, it really is. We're enjoying it. It's kind of a surprise, you know. We didn't really know what we were getting into, and ever since we've been here, it's like, holy smokes, this is really pretty great. I think it's a little different in January and February, though.
Oh, yes. It does get cold. There were times we had to, and I've never been in a state where you had to do this. You plug your car in there to keep the engine block and the motor block warm. So get
yeah,
ready to do
brisk,
that.
George, that's brisk.
You take it to a dealer, have them put on one of these things, and they install it, and there you are. So what would you recommend to people who need a relationship with their medical doctor, but they also need to take care of themselves, supplement themselves? What do they do? Do they try talking to the doctor? Do they do something else? What's your recommendation?
Well, you know, if you talk to 1,000 born-again Christians, every single one of them would tell you that reincarnation was a fiction. If you spoke to 1,000 Buddhists, every single one of them would tell you that reincarnation was a real thing, right? So people do go about their lives, orchestrate their lives based upon their philosophy. And I think this is an important point for people to understand. Our position isn't that medical doctors are bad people. Our position is that, number one, medical doctors own the monopoly on the marketplace, and that's just not right. But number two, medical doctors are trained in a particular philosophy of medicine. It's referred to as allopathic reductionism, right? I'm a naturopathic doctor, trained in naturopathic holism. MDs are trained in allopathic reductionism, and there's a great deal of difference between these two, right? I mean, you need the right dog for the hunt.
That's
you know,
right.
You wouldn't go to a chiropractor if you had a bullet in your arm. And I love chiropractors. I think a good chiropractor is worth their weight in gold.
Yes.
Chiropractors have helped me tremendously. But my point is, you need the right dog for the right hunt, right? You need the right physician for the right job. But in the United States, all we know is medical doctors all of the time. And so we get into trouble, we go to the only show in town, and that's the MD. And let's be honest, George, most people don't even know how to pronounce naturopath, let alone know what it is. I mean, and it's only licensed and regulated in 18 states. But the thing that people need to understand is allopathic reductionistic philosophy is unique, and it's kind of old-fashioned, outdated, and archaic, because reductionism is based on the physics of Newton, and Newton argues that if you can't measure it, it doesn't exist. So since nobody's ever dissected the soul out of a body or seen it with an MRI or a CT or an ultrasound, to the medical doctor, it doesn't exist. So medical doctors are trained by virtue of their allopathic philosophical orientation to believe that the human body is a bag of biochemicals waiting to break, and that consciousness itself is a function of biochemistry, that consciousness itself is made by biochemicals, that when the body dies, consciousness dies, it's lights out, game over. So the training, the medical training of an allopathic reductionist, MD, is to not cure the disease. It's simply to manage the symptoms, because the medical doctors are trained that the body really doesn't have the ability to fix itself. It's a bag of biochemicals waiting to break. So, I mean, think about it. Of all of the thousands of prescription medications that are available right now, the only ones that cure anything are antibiotics. And look, thank God for penicillin. Thank God.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Right? It's not the drug, it's how it's used. It's not the gun, it's how it's used. So this is the deal. So allopathic reductionism trains physicians to manage symptoms. So, you know, you go to the doctor, your MD, you have heartburn, it's managed. You have high blood pressure, it's managed. You have arthritis, it's managed until you have the fourth knee replacement, right? It's just management all of the time. And this is what we have become used to. This is what we have become socialized to believe is the best medicine that money has to offer. And it's wrong. It's killing us, literally, for goodness sakes.
Did not the Chinese, Doc Liddin, years ago, and I'm talking 5,000 years ago, didn't they use supplements, herbs, for all kinds of things?
Herbal medicines is the oldest type of medicine. We've been using prescription medications for 100 years. We've been using herbal medicines for about 5,000.
Native Americans use it. Shamans use it.
Yeah, there's no, it's historically very, very intact. But the point, and this is an interesting thing to talk about, because most people incorrectly assume that people who practice naturopathic medicine, right, espouse the use of natural therapies and whatever the heck that means. That's not it at all. You can use a prescription medicine naturopathically. Naturopathic philosophy argues that the human body is endowed with a God-given spiritual force, a vital force. Whatever it is that brings light to your eyes, whatever it is that leaves the body at the moment of death, right, this is the soul force, the spiritual force. And holistic physicians argue that it is this spiritual intelligence which informs and guides all of the metabolic processes in the human body. Your body is endowed with intelligence. Your body is so smart, it grew itself all by itself, from a tiny single cell organism into you. Now, if you think it was smart enough to do that, do you think it's smart enough to fix itself? Well, holistic physicians argue yes, resoundingly yes, all around the world. Chiropractors, yes. Acupuncturists, yes. Ayurvedic physicians, yes. Traditional Chinese medical doctors, yes. Homeopaths, yes. Naturopathic doctors, yes. Medical doctors, no. And this is a problem, right? So naturopathic doctors are trained not in the use of natural medicines. Naturopathic doctors are trained to support the body's natural ability to fix itself. We have the easiest job in the world. We support and promote the body's inherent God-given ability to fix itself. And how do we do that? Well, we do that in this context with medical nutrition for the masses. Medical nutrition for the masses. You know, I mean, for goodness sakes, from 1900 until now, we've doubled life expectancy on planet Earth just by cleaning up the water and making the food supply, you know.
That's dramatic, you know, because you're right, Peter. I have do a lot of research for my guests, and sometimes you get back to the 1800s to see what did some of these, you know, older scientists and what were they doing. And a lot of these people died at 45,
that's
50.
Right.
I mean, some of them lived long. I don't know how, but a lot of people died in their 40s and 50s. And I bet that was considered old, wasn't it?
It was. And so what did we do, man? We cleaned up the water supply, and the government, you know, subsidized farmers, so there's always food on the table. By doing these two things, we doubled life expectancy. Well, what we're doing right now with longevity, what we're doing, Dr. Wallach's a genius for thinking this through. He's developing a grassroots coalition of the informed. So we are educating people in the necessity, underlined necessity, of supplementing your diet with the raw materials that your body needs in order to fix itself. Your body needs 90 essential nutrients in order to function the way that nature and God intended.
I mean, what if you only get 80?
You're lucky if you get 40 from your food, George.
Yeah.
I mean, you're lucky. And when the way that it's been going in the last 30 years with agricultural farming, industrialized agricultural farming, and the overuse of herbicides like Roundup, there's no more food in our food. And even when there was food in our food, it wasn't enough. So you must supplement your diet with the 90 essential nutrients. Man, I don't care if you own 1,000 acres of the most organic farmland on planet Earth, you only eat your own stuff, you're still nutritionally deficient. And it's only a matter of time until things start to break, because all chronic disease is directly, not indirectly, directly related to nutrient deficiency.
I believe that. Let's take some calls. They're lining up for you. We go to Tennessee to get things started. Lauren's with us on the wild card line. Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
Good to have you with
us.
Thanks
for taking my call.
Sure thing. Go ahead.
I had a question about polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Yeah.
I was diagnosed with that about 8 or 9 years ago. And I was wondering if there was any other remedies or something that could help with that besides what was prescribed by the OBGYN, which is oral contraceptives.
So you've been dealing with polycystic ovarian syndrome for 8 years. You've been following your medical doctor's advice, and you're still in the woods, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, we need to not overlook this gorilla. And this is, again, our fundamental message. You know, your medical doctor may be the nicest person God ever created, but as is evidenced by your health history and the health history of millions of other people all around the world, you have been let down by conventional medical doctors.
It's not helping.
They don't have anything for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, for goodness sakes, we all need to collectively pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and look for a different method. And thank God for Dr. Wallach. Thank God for Youngevity, because they're bringing to the table, you know, science-based, clinically verified, medical nutrition for the masses. It's awesome. So from our point of view, polycystic ovarian syndrome is caused by a progesterone deficiency. It's a deficiency in progesterone, mostly. Now, what causes deficiencies in progesterone? A voodoo curse? I don't think so. A bad gene? Nope. Progesterone deficiencies are caused mostly because your body has run out of the raw materials it needs to make progesterone.
Something's not working right.
Guess what it needs to make progesterone? Cholesterol.
It really?
Cholesterol, yeah. All sex hormones, whether you're a man or a woman, all stress hormones are made from cholesterol. So if you're on a fat-free diet, or, you know, you're taking cholesterol-lowering statin drugs, you're not going to be able to get an erection if you're a man, and, well, thank God for Viagra. Or if you're a woman, you're going to have all kinds of hormonal deficiencies. But even if you're not taking the drugs, you know, everybody's so afraid of cholesterol. Cholesterol is the antichrist, and in point of fact, it is not. So,
as a matter of fact, if it gets too low, it's even worse, isn't it?
It's really bad, and it's really bad. And there was a medical doctor in Russia. His name is Ufi Ravenskov. He did a meta-analysis of all of the research ever published on heart disease, and could find no relationship whatsoever between cholesterol and heart disease. But, you know, that's a subject for another 2 hours on your show, George. But my point for the caller is, what we do with people with polycystic ovarian syndrome is we recommend that there are 10 foods that we recommend everybody stop eating.
Stop
10
eating.
10 foods that are going to gum up the works. You need to not even look at them, let alone eat them.
Now, they're probably all my favorites. What are they?
Okay, you're ready. This is George. I wanted to leave this for the end of the program, man, because you're just not going to like me anymore after this.
I love you, Peter.
All right, here we go.
And we got another hour with you. Anyway.
Wheat, barley, rye, and oats.
I hate you.
I know. You have to go gluten-free. Go gluten-free. Wheat, barley, rye, and oats. Oil in a bottle. Oh, my God. Everybody's favorite. Olive oil. Is that right? What are you, crazy, Dr. Glidden? No, I'm the smartest man in class. Oil in a bottle is an inferior food for a human being. And if you heat that oil in a bottle,
it's worse.
You're going to die, sucker. But before you die, you're going to suffer, and then you're going to die. No fried food whatsoever.
What does heating do?
Fried tofu.
Peter, what does heating the oil do to it?
It creates a chemical called acrylamide, and acrylamide is carcinogenic. That's not good.
No.
And oil in a bottle oxidizes, and over time...
Is that why they put vitamin E in oil sometimes?
It's one of the reasons, but the sophisticated people who, you know, do nutritional supplementation, for instance, omega-3 essential fatty acids is an oil, and you got to take it, Youngevity's oil, essential fatty acid, is squirted into the gel cap in a nitrogen blanket so that if any gas gets into the capsule, it's nitrogen, not oxygen, so the oil doesn't oxidize. It's brilliant.
Ah,
I mean, Wallach is so
he thinks of everything.
The curve, it is not even funny, right? But I digress. So eliminate the 10 bad foods. So it's wheat, barley, rye, and oats, oil in a bottle, fried food, well-done red meat. If you're going to eat red meat, go for it. Have red meat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but have it rare or medium rare.
What's also, wrong with the well done?
Well, if you cook meat well done, the protein turns into a particular nasty carcinogenic pro-inflammatory protein called a heterocyclic amine.
Jeez.
And that's bad. And this is interesting because, you know, from the proper perspective, everything makes sense. Medical doctors don't know about this, bless their hearts. They're just not trained in medical nutrition. Every once in a while, you'll hear a research study that says, oh, you know, colon cancer linked to meat consumption. Well, baloney. It's not linked to meat consumption. It's linked to well-done meat consumption, right? And also the consumption of meat that has nitrates in it. Nitrates, when heated, you know, they put nitrates in deli meat to keep it nice and red in the deli shelf. But
yeah,
that crap turns into nitrosamines, which are also carcinogenic when it's heated. So no more nitrates in your meat. Two more things on my list.
Go for it.
It's the skins. Get this. I hope you're sitting down, George. The skins of baked potatoes, yams, and sweet potatoes. Oh my God!
Well, I normally don't eat the skins because if I eat potatoes, it's mashed potatoes.
All right, that's great. We love to smash potatoes. If you have a baked potato, a baked yam, or a baked sweet potato, you can eat the potato, but not the skin. And if you boil it or crock pot it, you can eat the skin. It's when the skin gets crunchy that it's dangerous.
I don't eat chicken legs anymore or any of that because of the skin. I hate the skin on chicken and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's nasty, right? But it's got a lot of cholesterol, George.
Are you saying that's good?
I'm saying that's really good.
You're saying
fried.
the skins on potatoes, not necessarily
not fried. Yeah, skins on potatoes are bad. Skins.
But
on
fried chicken's not good.
No, fried chicken will kill you. I don't even, you know, Colonel Sanders has been dead for 30 years. He's still killing people, for goodness sake.
You said it, not me.
And last on the list, a carbonated beverage with a meal. The bubbles.
I agree with that.
The bubbles in the carbonation, the bubbles are carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide neutralizes stomach acid, so it makes it harder for your body to digest anything. You want to have something with bubbles in it, drink it between meals, not with a meal.
Let's go to Rick in Wisconsin while we have a few minutes, and then we've got a full hour to go of calls with Dr. Peter Glidden. Let's go to Rick in Wisconsin, get his question in. Go ahead, Rick.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good, Rick. Thank you.
I just had a quick, I was listening to your guest, and it sounded just like my wife talking. She went to war with a few of the doctors over, like, vaccines and stuff.
Yeah.
For children. And actually, you know what the doctor, a couple of them told her, well, I guess you know more than me, and they just backed off.
Wow.
And I had one other thing to say was, there was another show, and this lady was talking about vaccines, and you're a horrible parent if you don't, and we didn't vaccinate our kids. And I called in, and I told her that. Well, she told me I was an idiot and all that, hung up on me. Well, about 3 days later, and I don't know if it was a coincidence, but I got a call from Chicago, from the university, saying they're doing a survey on to see if my kids were vaccinated. And they said at the end of the survey that they wanted me to submit my children's vaccination papers. And they called me for probably 3 months every day. And they said, hey, we called you. We wanted to complete the survey, and would you please call us back? And, you know, I was on my voicemail, and I mean, I was like, you know what, when are you going to give up? Because I'm not talking to you.
Well, you know, we never tell people to get vaccinated or not to. That's their choice. But, Peter, I got to tell you, I'm a kid of the 50s, and I've got that simian monkey virus in me from those shots.
Well, I think you've had Dr. Sherry Tenpenny on. And
I sure have.
She really is the expert on vaccination.
Hold on, Peter. We're at the top of the hour. We're going to come back. Dr. Peter Glidden with us. We'll get to your calls. CriticalHealthNews.com or the toll-free number for you. People are there to help at 1-855-949-7234.